This is Primal Potential, and I am your host, Elizabeth Benton. Primal Potential is about you. Your ability to change is not defined by yesterday and doesn't need to wait until tomorrow. Your transformation is now. Let's get started.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Primal Potential Podcast. I am Elizabeth Benton, and yes, this is a Saturday show. It has been a long time since we've done a Saturday episode, but as I announced this past Monday, which was episode 567, we are adding a third show every week. That's right. So in addition to Monday and Thursday, we're now adding Saturday. And the theme of the Saturday show is going to be answers to your questions, thoughts about your challenges, your struggles, things you are working through and working on in your life. I announced this back in episode 567. So if you have not yet listened to that show, it's probably a good one to start with. I also answered some of your questions, gave my thoughts on some of your challenges in that episode as well. But what I shared at the start of episode 567 were a few changes, a few improvements, really, that I am making to Primal Potential this year, all stemming from one fundamental priority, which is serving you guys more and serving you better. Most of you know, I've shared a few times that I have made some significant investments into Primal Potential this year already in 2019. Things like a business mastermind, a separate business coach, all aimed at helping me take Primal Potential to the next level of impact. Not so much the next level of growth, the next level of sales. I believe personally, my business philosophy is impact over income. I believe that when I put impact first, income flows from that. So I always lead with that, my desire to help you help yourself. So these changes that I am making with Primal Potential are all about taking things to the next level of serving you. How can I be more effective in helping you achieve your goals? How can I be more effective and impactful in helping you live a happier, healthier life? What shifts can I make in business that will equip me to help you identify and remove what's holding you back so that you can end your struggle, so that you can set yourself free? And in asking those questions and talking about those things within my mastermind and with my business coach, it became immediately obvious that in order to be more effective, to have a greater impact, to help you more, one of the first changes that I had to make right away was bringing somebody on board to help me do that. And some of the things that I needed help with to free me up to serve you more are some of the administrative things like creating an amazing experience for Ascend, the Primal Potential weekend workshop coming up in November in Portland, Oregon, getting sponsors for that event and making amazing swag bags for that event, things like that, working on the room block at the hotel. But more than that, more than the administrative side of things, I wanted somebody on the team who was excited about helping me help you change and improve and optimize your life, step away from your excuses and your fears and into your potential. Especially when it comes to things like the 12 Weeks to Transformation and the Master's Club. I wanted somebody on the team that would help me triage your needs, your questions, and identify opportunities to be of greater service within the 12 Weeks to Transformation. I just needed another pair of eyes, another pair of ears, another set of hands. And when I started to think about this, I really wasn't considering things like technical skills or related experience, which is great because the person I'm going to introduce you to today doesn't have those things yet. But what I really wanted and what I knew I needed was somebody who had the drive for it, the heart for it, the passion for it, and who understood the vision of Primal Potential and just had a genuine interest in helping me help you help yourself. And it really wasn't about the skill set. It was about the mindset. One of the changes we talked about in episode 567 was working together with this new team member to improve the way I serve those of you who are listening to the podcast. Over the last 4 or 5 years, it'll be 5 years in July, crazy to think that, I have responded to every single email that has come into my inbox. And the number of tools and strategies and ideas and tactics that have gone from me to one of you, I mean, probably couldn't even put a number on the amount of voice notes that I've sent out, which I love doing, but the challenge, the limitation where I was really blocking the impact of Primal Potential was that those things were happening one-to-one. So Susie Smith, listening to the podcast, sends me a challenge or a struggle, and I send a tool, a resource, an idea, a strategy back to Susie Smith. The reality is if one of you has that question or that struggle, thousands of you can benefit from the answer, from the tool, from the resource. So one of the shifts that I knew I could make that would allow me to serve more of you in a more real and a more readily accessible way is to shift the way that I was responding to your questions. And I needed a little bit of help in doing so. And as I shared in episode 567, we've made an adjustment so that you can continue to send in your questions, your challenges, your struggles via primalpotential.com/inbox or over in the new free Primal Potential Facebook group, which I'll link to in the show notes, or you can just go to primalpotential.com/Facebook and you will get redirected right to that group. And then I'll answer those questions in this Saturday episode. So all of you will still have the opportunity for the feedback, the thoughts, the resources, the strategies that I've always been providing, but in a way that serves so many more of you and in a way that you can continue to go back to those tools and those resources and those suggestions over and over and over. So instead of me using that 5-10 minutes in a one-to-one way, it's now 1 to tens of thousands of you. And I'm really excited about that, but I couldn't do it alone. And I needed somebody who was going to keep an eye on that new inbox. Otherwise, it would just be kind of the same approach for me and coordinate these weekly Q&A episodes. And also let me know, hey, Elizabeth, I think this is one that you need to look at before next Saturday. Or, oh, this person just wants to know if we've ever done an episode on XYZ. I can get them that information right now. So this was a really strategic shift for a lot of reasons, all centered around this idea of serving you better and serving you more deeply. A couple of little caveats that I'm sure are going through people's minds. As you send in your questions, your comments, your challenges in this new way, please know that on these Saturday episodes, I will never, ever, ever reveal any of your personally identifying information. So that means not only will I not say your name, but if you tell me you're a nurse with 3 kids and a husband named Jack, then I'm not going to say somebody emailed me and told me, you know, her 3 kids and her husband named Jack. No, I'll leave that personally identifying information out of it. And if for some reason I cannot share your question on the podcast, then we will find another way to serve you, meet your needs, give you the tools and strategies that will help you move to the next level of your life. The other piece of it is, if you're wondering how this impacts you, if you're one of my current clients, you're in the 12 Weeks to Transformation, you're in the Primal Potential Masters Club. The amazing thing about this shift in opening up primalpotential.com/inbox for general questions, challenges, struggles, is that it will allow me to better serve people who want to be my client or who currently are a client of mine. You can still email me directly. So my inbox will now have more space, more time, more freedom for the people who are in the 12 Weeks to Transformation or who are in the Primal Potential Masters Club. You guys will always have that immediate access to my inbox, and I will continue to respond to you in the same way. I wish that there was a way to serve everybody one-on-one and universally, but I'm so excited that this will allow me to help more of you in a more significant, in a more consistent, in a more regular way. And the episode today will show you how we plan to do that. Before we get to your questions, not only do I want to introduce you to the newest member of the Primal Potential family, but I also thought it would be really fun to share a conversation that's just really real and authentic about how this transition has been a powerful opportunity for both of us to practice really refusing the limits of our own fears and acknowledging where fear can be a barrier. Because I'll be the first one to say that a lot of these changes that I'm making to Primal Potential, whether investing $30,000 in this mastermind and hiring a business coach and bringing on a new team member, it tested the limits of my fear. Will I operate from that fear, or will I step through that fear? I really believe that fear is a doorway and that we limit our life when we stay on the other side of fear, when we refuse to go through it, when we refuse to dance with that fear, to pursue it and move towards it. And similarly, taking a new role, a role that hasn't existed before, a role that is outside of skill set and experience, also has a lot of fear. So we're going to talk about what that was like for both of us, because this is something that comes up all the time on the podcast. Regardless of your lifestyle, regardless of your goal, regardless of your age, whether we're talking about weight loss, whether we're talking about fear of failure, whether we're talking about fear of missing out, this is real stuff. And we've been talking a lot about connection and isolation, and connecting with people and improving relationships absolutely demands of us that we face our fears and we do not let them continue to limit our experience of life. So a few things on the agenda today. First is kind of setting the stage for some of these amazing improvements that we are making. Second is introducing you to this newest member of the team. Third is talking a little bit about how we are navigating this transition and facing our fears together in a way that I think will make us both better and make Primal Potential better. And then lastly, of course, addressing some of the questions that you have already sent in. Without further ado, I want everybody to help me welcome and enthusiastically join the family. Welcome to the team, Sarah. So glad to have you. I know you're really nervous. You're probably freaking out right now, but say hi to everybody.
Hey, everybody. And yes, I am freaking out a little bit.
I told her, I was like, look, I am the most casual podcaster on the planet. And this is going to be just like a conversation that we have had a million times before. So to give you guys a backstory, you've actually heard me mention Sarah before, because not only is she a friend of mine, which we'll talk about the fears related to working with a friend, but you have heard me mention Sarah because Sarah is also a business owner. Tell me a little bit about what you do in your own business. And also we will link to Sarah's business in the show notes for today's episode. But tell me a little bit about what you do when you are not here helping with Primal Potential.
So I hand paint and make signs that I sell to local gift shops. I sell them wholesale and also retail, do some festivals, sell online, things like that.
And what is the name of that endeavor of yours?
That name is Seasold. It's Seasouled.
So Sarah made for me a sign that says travel light, which is still in my tiny house, but the tiny house sale is happening here soon, so I will be getting that sign back, and I can't wait to put it in my office, which is currently under construction. So I met Sarah a couple years ago. We were just talking about this before we started recording. We're trying to figure out the timeline. We met before I moved to Cape Cod.
This is kind of where Sarah lives and is from. Her social circle is peripheral to the social circle of my boyfriend. So they knew each other long before Sarah and I met, but that's kind of how we met. Is that fair to say?
Yes, that's fair to say.
And when we first met, this is so funny because our opportunity to face our fears kind of started at the beginning of our relationship, which sounds really funny, but you guys know, I've shared this before on the podcast, friendships have been I don't want to say a challenge for me, but because I was so overweight for so long, starting at such a young age, I never really had friends. As silly as that sounds to say, like I'm thinking back, I played on sports teams, so I had people that I was social with, but I was not a kid that grew up having sleepovers or big birthday parties with lots of friends, or I never had plans on weekend nights in high school or even in college. When I had a boyfriend, that was my social circle. But I chose to isolate myself and I never really developed friendships until now. As an adult, it's something that I'm actively working on. But because it's new, it's also a challenge for me and it requires me feeling that fear and stepping out anyway. So when I moved to Cape Cod, some of you guys remember that I had a custom-built tiny house. So I lived in this literally tiny house. It was like 300 square feet. And I was determined to build friendships. But I had no idea how to do that. And I didn't know where to start. But there was this group of girls that was peripheral to my boyfriend's friend group. And I thought, well, that's a good place to start. But I will tell you that I was super terrified. And Sarah and I were talking about this a few minutes ago. And I was like, okay, so we met a bunch of times. But like, when did we actually like develop a friendship? And she reminded me that I invited her and a couple other girls over to the tiny house. And I was terrified. First, I didn't know what people would think of the fact that I lived in this 300 square foot box. And like, where would I put them? You know, like, where would we sit? We would have to like sit on each other. How would we do this? Fortunately, only two of them showed up. So there was three of us and it was fine. We all had a place to sit. But had there been more than that, like truly there wouldn't have been any place to sit. So I was worried about them saying no, them not liking me. And interestingly, Sarah, though she had this close-knit social circle, you also had some sort of fear-based thoughts with something as, from the outside now looking back on it, seemingly innocent as like, hey, do you want to come over and like have a glass of wine with me at my house? You also had like some fear-based thoughts about it.
I did. I was mostly thinking about how brave it was for you to invite us over and hang without really being close to us. But also thinking like, what if we have a lull in our conversation, or is it going to be really awkward? How long do I have to stay? I can't just get up and go, all those sorts of things.
Which I sort of am laughing about it now because, you know, these are the reasons that it's hard to create relationships of any kind because of the power of fear. But I asked and I put myself out there and we would not be sitting here today, I don't think, had I not made that invitation. And I could have stopped at the door of fear. I could have said, oh, I'll just wait for them to invite me to do something. But we were talking about this before we were recording too. Proximity is not how you build relationships because we had been proximal to each other several times, like at the same place at the same time. Hey, how are you? Good to see you again. Small talk, but that's not what builds relationships. And that's true whether we're talking about one-on-one or we're talking about joining a gym or we're talking about the people in your church group. Being in the same place at the same time is not how relationships are built. So from there, I think my sense is that this is one of those moments. Like, I'm going to say, I think we connected, knowing full well that she could be like, yeah, no, not so much, not then. But I felt like there were a lot of similarities in the way that we thought, or similar interests. We were both small business owners. We both had kind of started something from nothing. And I, after hanging out with you that evening, felt like there was potential there for a friendship. I don't know. Did you feel that way?
I totally felt that way. Yes, of course. I had a lot of fun.
That's so funny. So I'm just laughing at myself, because even in a moment like that, like that was, you know, a year and a half ago, if not more, I'm still sort of like, well, that could be awkward. But we continued to hang out, and we talked a lot about business, and we shared different ideas. And I remember a couple times, like, coming back from a conference and being like, oh my gosh, I want to tell you these things I learned about business and different things about that. And I also never ever thought about having Sarah or anybody in my life, anybody I consider a friend, on the Primal Potential team until I started talking about it with my mastermind, and they really helped me see that you don't hire for skill set, you hire for personality, and you hire for heart and vision and mission. And I knew when I was kind of making a short list of like who, A, I wanted somebody who was near to me so that it wasn't a remote working relationship, because I do think that that matters, that being able to, not just for the work side of things, but also for the celebration side of things. My publisher sent me a framed copy of my book in the mail, and Sarah was here when I got it, and that it was just, it made the moment better to have somebody to share it with. So I knew I wanted somebody that was at least able to work with me in person often. But more than that, I wanted somebody who was a problem solver, not somebody who needed everything to be spoon-fed, like list of instructions. Because as I explained to Sarah, and as you've probably heard me say, I don't know what I'm doing 99% of the time. So if you're looking for me to tell you, I just figure it out every day. So I knew I needed somebody who could do that. But I also knew that I needed somebody who was going to get excited about what Primal Potential is and the difference we're trying to make in people's lives. And I knew that Sarah had been listening to the podcast a little bit and sort of following along with some of the things that we were doing. And I thought, well, I can just ask. I can just ask if that's something she would be open to. But even that required me to not stop at the doorway of fear, because I really do. I visualize fear in my mind as a doorway. We feel the fear. What do we do? Do we stay behind the door or do we go through the door? And I remember asking my boyfriend, is this really stupid or is this really genius? And even when I mentioned it to Sarah, I think I said, like, this is either really stupid or really genius. And really stupid in that, you know, working with friends can be risky. But I decided to put myself out there and just say, would you ever think of this? Knowing that she could say, that's a terrible idea, I wouldn't ever want to do that, or that's terrible for our friendship, or that even just asking could in some way negatively impact our friendship, which I certainly didn't want to happen. But I did it anyway, because I really believe in the value of walking through that doorway of fear. No matter what happens on the other side of it, just building that practice of I feel the fear and I do it anyway, I believe opens up our options in life. And I know for you, Sarah, your first thought included a little bit of fear as well. Do you want to talk a little bit about what, maybe if you were excited, why you were excited, but also if there were fears, what was that coming from?
I was definitely really excited about the idea initially. It's something I definitely hadn't thought about doing, but working with you was something I know I could learn from, and I love what you were doing, so I'd love to be a part of it. But the fear was because I had no idea what you would need me to do or how to do any of those things. So that was definitely a fear of mine. And also I was concerned with how this could change our relationship. I didn't want our friendship to be impacted negatively.
And we had that conversation. And I think that was so important. Anytime that you have a fear, give it a voice. Because when you bring it out into the light, when you take it out of your imagination where things tend to get worse and spin and spin and spin, give it a voice, give it some air, get other people's thoughts on it. It takes away so much of the power. So we actually had a conversation because not only did I not want this to negatively impact our friendship, I wanted it to make it better. And I think that in having a conversation about where could it go wrong and what can we do about it, I know I grew from that personally and professionally. And I think that in our practice of the strategy we talked about for making sure that doesn't happen, that we both will become better communicators in all aspects of our lives. So to just give you guys a little bit of insight into the conversation that Sarah and I had, we decided that the real risk would be in letting things go unsaid. So a misunderstanding or a bad moment, a poor choice of words, whatever it is, anything like that that stems from communication. And so we decided on having a weekly practice of saying uncomfortable things. Even if you're reaching for them and you're stretching for them, just the practice of it makes it easier. So if I said something that came across as rude, or I set an expectation without giving the appropriate context, or whatever it is, having the conversation of, I'm going to say five things that are uncomfortable, or two things, or one thing, is a really important way that we are going to make sure that resentment doesn't build. And I think in doing so, not only will it make us better in the work that we do together, but it will also strengthen the friendship. So when we had that conversation, because we also talked about, like, it's cool that you don't know how to do anything yet. I don't know how to do much, and everything is figure outable and nothing is not fixable. But as far as the piece of saying things that are uncomfortable, what are your thoughts on that? Like, is that something that you think will be helpful? And or do you think that's something that has also broader application into other areas of your life unrelated to work?
I think that alone is going to be uncomfortable, having that uncomfortable conversation. But I think it can only help us both to communicate better and grow and know what we both need from each other while we're working together.
Do you feel like that can cross over into other relationships or other areas of your life that you have going on?
Oh, totally. Yeah. If I'm practicing that with you, I'm going to start practicing it with everyone and have those uncomfortable conversations, or at least try or think about it or know that sometimes I should and just do it.
I love that. And the reason that we're even sharing this is because it's real. Because no matter what is going on in your life, whether you want to make improvements to your career, to your finances, to your health, to your mindset, it's all going to require that you recognize when your thoughts are fear-based and you change your reaction. We were talking the other day about assumptions and how, whether it's with yourself or it's with somebody else, assumptions can be super toxic. And we both have to be mindful of not making assumptions about each other. And especially because Sarah and I are friends. Sarah and I have peripheral, occasionally overlapping social circles. And I will tell you something I've learned. This is totally random. Something I've learned about small town communities is that a lot of the social circles, maybe this is just because I never had friends. Maybe everything is like this. I don't know. But it can feel very high school at times. And my practice is always, I don't, nope, no drama for me. I am a no drama llama. But sometimes the drama comes from your own dang head, right? Like, even if you're not going to participate in gossip with other people or whatever other crazy things are happening, the drama can come from your own head. And I remember when Sarah and I agreed to take this leap and to work together, and we were both really excited about it. A peripheral social circle person had commented back to me that they had a conversation with Sarah about it. And Sarah was like, yeah, but don't tell anybody. And instantly my head went into inventing things. Well, why doesn't she want anybody to know? Has she changed her mind? This, that, or the other thing? And I so quickly was like, Elizabeth, you wacko. You just made all of that up. That, you know, the whole story of like, you know, is it because she's embarrassed? Is it because she's changed her mind? This, that, and the other thing. There's also 60,000 other stories, like the fact that she hadn't given her notice at her other job, which was totally true. But I bring that up because in all of this fear-based thinking, we've got to be able to acknowledge where we are creating drama and be really mindful of the assumptions that we make. And I think in a successful working relationship, in a successful relationship with yourself, you can hear some sort of, I live by a military base. And so there are very regularly like really loud airplanes. But in the new office space that we are building, there's going to be a soundproof booth, which is going to be amazing. Anyways, in any relationship, being aware of your tendency to make assumptions. And I know that's going to be a huge part of our success here. All of this was primarily to introduce Sarah to you all and have you welcome her to the team, but also to be very authentic about how we live out what we're talking about here on the podcast. So where you will see Sarah, first, she is going to be the first set of eyes on the inbox, primalpotential.com/inbox, because we are shifting the questions from listeners, questions from podcast reader or blog readers, etc., over to primalpotential.com/inbox. So she will be making sure that those questions get queued up for these weekly Q&As. She'll also be responding if there's questions like, hey, have you done a podcast on this, or what's the episode number for this, or I'm looking for this and I can't find it. She will be part of the team there. She will also be a huge part of creating success for everybody within the 12 weeks to transformation. She'll be a huge part of planning Ascend, and she will be a regular presence in the new Primal Potential Facebook group. All of those things will be linked up in the show notes. But bottom line here is we are so excited to have her. I know this is going to take Primal Potential to the next level of impact. So Sarah, we're so, so excited to have you.
I'm really, really, really excited too. And I look forward to seeing everyone on Facebook and answering your messages and questions. And I'm really happy. I'm thankful to be here.
All right, guys, now we will dive into your questions, which if you have things that are on your mind, questions, thoughts, challenges, etc., primalpotential.com/inbox is where to submit those, as well as in the new Primal Potential Facebook group, which will be linked up in the show notes for today's episode, primalpotential.com/569. Okay, so the first question that I want to dive into today says, understanding that you and I are 100% in charge of our choices, and that we decide what to put in our mouths and when, and that our food choices are not driven by anything but us and our own free will, are there certain foods that you like or love, but that just set off a bad chain of events? I'm not talking about alcohol, because that's a mood-altering substance. I'm talking about, for example, a bagel. This person says, I love a good bagel, but it seems to me that even when I'm being intentional and deliberate in my choices, journaling, the whole nine, that a bagel seems to trigger a bingey chain of events. Do you have foods like that now, even at this stage of your journey? Do you have foods that you're just like, nah, can't do it, or stuff's gonna get rowdy? And do you ever just like accept those days as a consequence and move on to the next? Okay, so many things to tackle here. First and foremost, the bagel does not trigger the bingey chain of events. Your thoughts about the bagel trigger the bingey chain of events, and that's different. With that said, are there foods that make you more hungry and experience more cravings? Yes, of course, without a doubt. Foods that are more likely to elevate your blood sugar and create that insulin response are going to set you up for more hunger and cravings. But here's the deal. No matter what hunger and cravings you experience, your ability to choose remains unchanged. You still have all the control, and the food has none of the control. So are there foods that set off a bingey chain of events? No. Your thoughts about it can, but that's different. The problem is not the food, but if you say, ah, screw it, I blew it, who cares, what's the point? That did not come from the food. That came from your thoughts about the food, and that is totally different. That is totally different. So, yes, if I have nachos, if I have even sweet potato fries, I find that I am more hungry and I have more cravings, but there is nothing that is set off in a chain of events that I can't control. I have the same amount of control over what I put in my mouth, how much and when, no matter what. It's just a matter of whether or not I choose to exercise it. And in 99.9% of the cases, it is not the food that is the problem, but rather the thoughts about the food. If you convince yourself, when I eat a bagel, it sets off this chain of bingey events, well, you've talked yourself into it. You've convinced yourself. And it might be that you've just practiced that pattern of behavior so much that it feels automatic, that you give yourself a pass because you believe that this thing happens as a result of eating the bagel. But the fact is that you have the same amount of control. The next question says, how do I think through the overwhelming feeling that the journey is too hard and too long? You listen to episode 548. I know that sounds crazy, but seriously, episode 548 talks about where we go wrong in thinking too far ahead. You feel that the journey is too hard and too long when you're focused on the future, but that's not where change happens. Change happens right now. So when you feel overwhelmed, understand that overwhelm is not about the journey. It is about the fact that you are focused where your power is not. Your power is not 3 months from now. Your power is not 30 pounds from now. Your power is right here, right now. You can come back to your power in any moment by just focusing on your next best choice. You've heard me mention this saying before, that overwhelm, stress, and anxiety are a sign of too much future, not enough present. That overwhelming feeling you have that the journey is just too hard and too long is a sign that you are too much in the future, not enough in the present. The only way you ever get anything done is by mastering the moment that you are in now, and that is where you need to return to. So how do you get over that overwhelmed feeling? You return to right now. You tell yourself, I'm not there yet. I'm not out there in the future. The future doesn't freaking matter. The only place where I have power is in the moment I am right now. Be where your feet are. Win the moment you're in. Next question says, EB, do you do private coaching? For new listeners, EB, that's me, Elizabeth Benton. EB, do I do private coaching? Yes, I do. But I will only work with somebody one-on-one after they have been through the 12 weeks to transformation, and here's why. A, I want to know that you're serious about doing the work, because your time is valuable, my time is valuable, and I don't want to make that kind of investment in somebody, nor ask somebody else to make that kind of financial investment in themselves if we don't know that there's skin in the game, and also that they've learned the foundations. Working with me in the 12 weeks to transformation is far more affordable than working with me one-on-one. And so I want to know that this person has those basics and those fundamentals and those general perspectives as a practice before we work together one-on-one. So typically I won't work with more than one person per quarter on a one-on-one private coaching kind of basis, but I will not entertain it if they have not yet been through the 12 weeks to transformation. The next opportunity for the 12 weeks to transformation kicks off on April 7th, but registration opens in just a couple weeks, and it always opens first to the waitlist. So if you want to know more about what that is, how it works, how much it costs, make sure you're on the waitlist. And you can get on the waitlist by going to primalpotential.com/transform. And I'll link it up in today's show notes, the show notes for today's episode, primalpotential.com/569. A few more questions. The next one says, I've had the most horrible monkey on my back my whole life when it comes to body insecurities, weight loss, and repeated dieting cycles. I think I'm getting better and improving emotionally to overcome this battle. But the one thing I've noticed of late is the battle is so old in my brain, I have no idea who I am without it. I'm not sure what else I am, how to form a fresh identity, and mostly how to add other, more fun, different elements of something else in my life. I love exercising and training, but I actually don't know who I am without being on a weight loss mission. I feel really empty and lost overall, and think this sense of lostness is what is most startling when I look underneath the emotional eating. First and foremost, I get you, and I wish I could give you a big hug. My mom reminds me of this story often. It's, I think, a stronger memory for her than it is for me, even though it wasn't that long ago. I was still living in North Carolina at the time, and I had probably lost about 100 pounds, and I had definitely already started Primal Potential, but I think it was early. And I had flown up to New England, where my family is from, and my mom was driving me back to the airport, and she said, my family calls me Betsy. She said, Betsy, you look really sad. And I started to cry, and I said, I don't know who I am. I've lost all this weight and now I don't know who I am, because for so long, everything about me was through the lens of my struggle with my weight, right? I was always obsessed with weight loss. I was always thinking about the next plan, the next approach, the next meal. It was just all consuming and I didn't know who I was. But here's the beautiful thing. You get to decide who you want to be. It's not about who you are or who you are without this. Who do you want to be? How do you want to be? Don't feel like you have to figure it out, because you can create it. And you don't have to have all of the answers, because you can build it. I'm so grateful to my mom's younger sister, my Aunt Kathy, who's my godmother, because she taught me at a very young age. I don't know why, but she used to say to me over and over and over, and when I say I don't know why, I don't remember the context in which it would come up all the time. I do remember the context a few times, but she would say to me, you can always reinvent yourself. And she was a business, she still is a business owner, but at the time when I was a kid, she was a business owner, and she would start a business, and several times for whatever reason, she would go into a different business, she would start a different business. And so professionally, she was always reinventing herself. And that's, I guess, probably why it would come up. But I just remember being very encouraged by that. I'm not who I was yesterday. I'm not who I was 10 years ago. I'm not who I will be in 5 years. I'm not who I'll be in 5 weeks. But I get to decide. So where I would have you begin if you're feeling really lost is, what lights you up? What do you enjoy? What's fun for you, right? You said that you really love exercising and training. But what does it look like to work out for fun versus for weight loss? Because part of this question says, like, I don't know who I am without being on a weight loss mission. So I understand if exercising and training has been tied to that. But if you were just going to go for fun, what would that be? Would that be dancing? Would that be powerlifting? Would that be jumping rope? Would that be swimming? Would that be kayaking? Would it be paddleboarding? What would it be for you? What would it look like if it wasn't with this end goal of like fitness or fat loss in mind? It was just, I love to use my body. What's fun for me in that? And I've been very open on the show talking about the fact that I didn't know what brought me joy for a really long time. So where I would begin is what doesn't, right? Because sometimes when you strip away everything that doesn't make you happy, everything that isn't what or how or who you want to be, then you get to experience more of what you do. Do you love to cook? Do you love to write? Do you love to host people? Do you love to travel? And if you come up short on those answers, what makes you feel bad? What do you not enjoy? And how can you move away from those things in this day that you're in? What can you say no to today that doesn't light you up today? And that can start to help that take shape. The next question, I don't even feel like I needed to include this, but I get it often enough that I just wanted to kind of put it to bed. And the question is, what is your boyfriend's name? I don't really understand this question. We can call him Tito the Tank. We can call him John Luke. We can call him Marco, like whatever you want to call him. I don't really understand the question. And I get it. What's his name? I understand what it means that you want his name. But when I am like thinking about what I share here, I always think, does this help people help themselves? So in sharing the conversation with Sarah about fear and about how our friendship started and the fears around that and the conversation about would you be interested in working for Primal and the fears around that, I think that has value. Like that can help you live a better life. But when it's like, what's your boyfriend's name? I guess I don't really get the curiosity there. So we can call him Tito the Tank. We can call him John Luke. We can call him Marco. We can call him whatever you want. I, for myself, have drawn lines and when it comes to a relationship with that other person about what we feel comfortable sharing and what we don't feel comfortable sharing. I'm certainly not hiding him. That's why I had him on the show. The Masters Club knows his name because the majority of them have met him. He goes to Ascend. If you really want to know, come to Ascend. November 8th through the 10th, downtown Portland, Oregon. It is the Primal Potential Transformational Weekend Workshop. You'll want to be there anyway. And if you're super curious to know what he looks like and his name, you can do that then. But, you know, in this day and age with like social media and that sort of thing, like he's not Primal Potential. He didn't sign on to have people watch, you know, what he's doing and who he is and all of that kind of stuff. That's what I signed on for. And I also have learned through experience to have certain lines. And my lines are talking about the things that I think allow people to help them help themselves. So that's why I'll go there and talk about our relationship. But when it's like, what's your address? What's your boyfriend's name? I don't think that helps you help you. Doesn't help me help you. So that's why I don't share that. But if you want to call him Tito the Tank, call him Tito the Tank. Next question says, I've been loving using my immersion blender to mix almond milk and avocado for a quick and filling breakfast. I'd love to try other veggies, but not fruit. And I'm afraid that some things don't blend well or that won't blend well unless they're cooked, like carrots. What veggie suggestions do you have to add to my almond milk base? I love using frozen cauliflower. I'm not a big shake drinker personally because I prefer chewing. I like am more emotionally and psychologically satisfied when I chew my meal versus when I just drink it. So I'm not a big shake person, but when I do, instead of ice, I'll use frozen cauliflower. It blends really well. It's nutrient dense, lots of micronutrients, lots of fiber. It keeps you fuller for longer, and it just gives like a creamy texture. And then the second part of this question was, I remember you doing an episode about differences in veggies when they are raw versus cooked, and I want to make sure I'm getting the most nutrient density out of the vegetables I use. Where do I go for that info? That was episode 455. In episode 455, I talk about raw versus cooked and when you want to go which way. A couple more questions. One is, what made you start Primal Potential? I'm wanting to leave my current job as a corporate controller and become a life coach. So I'm curious about your transition from working for somebody else to Primal Potential. You have such an awesome program. Well, thank you. I wanted to start Primal Potential because I was working in the supplement industry And I was the director of product development, and we had a weight loss line of supplements, and I wasn't taking the weight loss supplements, but I had lost over 100 pounds, and I was getting a lot of questions about it from the field. And not only did I want to give those answers, but I wanted to give those answers in a very true and authentic way that I didn't feel like undermined the company that was paying my paycheck, my salary, my health insurance, all of that. So it really became a conflict of interest for me. I always had the desire to overcome this challenge and then help other people. So that was just really in me from the early days of my struggle as a kid. And then the timing of where I was working and what I was doing as I was losing the weight, it was one of those things that I couldn't do both. I couldn't talk about my success and also be in my role and be a good advocate for the products that I was representing in that company. Somebody else said, I'd love to create a podcast and I would love some advice or tips if you don't mind. Of course I don't mind. How long did it take you to build such a strong and successful podcast? I don't think I'm there yet. Like, I love this podcast. I think it is strong. I think it is successful in a lot of ways, but it hasn't ended in terms of like, it took a week, it took a month, it took 6 months. No, it's still happening. I believe that a strong and successful podcast is a result of knowing who you want to serve, knowing what they need, and getting better every day at delivering it. So that never ends. Of course, you have to be consistent, right? You cannot start a podcast and like have a when I think of something to say, I'll say it kind of approach. From the get-go, I had a schedule. When I've made changes to that schedule, I've let people know, but I've never been like, oh crap, it's Tuesday and I forgot an episode. It's a commitment to consistency, and I think that's a big part of it. Overall, know who you're serving and get really good at giving them things that work. Not what you think they need, not what you're interested in, but what really works to create change. And then there is no answer to how long does it take, because I don't think that you ever arrive. I will never be like, yeah, check, successful podcast. A successful, strong podcast is something that gets worked on every single day. And then the second part of that question was, I'd be curious to know what sacrifices you had to make in building it. And I thought about this and I can't think of any. I don't see it as a sacrifice. It's never occurred to me that way. Yes, I work a lot, but I don't see that as a sacrifice. I see it as an opportunity. I see it as a gift, and I see it as a choice. One last question just says, I don't see any podcasts before episode 270. Is there a listening guide on where to start? So some podcast platforms do limit to the last 100 or the last 500 episodes, but every single episode is on Spotify. Every single episode is on primalpotential.com. So if you ever feel like if you're listening through Apple Podcasts and they're only showing you the last 500 episodes, you still can get all of them. The easiest place is primalpotential.com. As for where to start, that depends entirely on your goals. So there is no like, everybody should start here. Because if your primary objective is mindset, well, then we definitely don't want to be like, yeah, start with Fat Loss Basics, that 4 series. No. That's just silly. So it really depends on what your goals are. I would say a great place to start is on the resources and FAQs page that is on primalpotential.com. It's right in the header of primalpotential.com, and I'll link to it in the show notes. So thank you guys so much for sending your questions in. I am so excited to have Sarah on the team. Please continue to send in your questions. We're just rerouting the way that you send them so that I can serve so many of you in such a bigger and better way by adding this third show every single week. So you can put those questions at primalpotential.com/inbox, or you can post the questions in the new Primal Potential Facebook group. That's another great place for your questions. You can go to primalpotential.com/Facebook to join that free group. And you can go to the show notes page for today's episode to grab those links, which you can find at primalpotential.com/569. I'm so excited to grow with you. I'm so excited to make this year the best year of your life, the best year for Primal Potential. And I am increasingly committed to helping you help yourself. Make it a great day, and I'll chat with you soon.
Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of the Primal Potential Podcast, where my goal is not to inform you, but to transform you. And if you would like to receive free motivation and strategy and recipes, workouts, meal ideas every week right to your inbox, just text the word PRIMAL to the number 44222 or go to primalpotential.com/join. It's a great way to get the tools, the strategies, and the practical implementation assistance that you need to create your own transformation between podcast episodes. Just text the word PRIMAL to the number 44222 or go to primalpotential.com/join. See you there.